Thank you so much, Dennis. You are so nice to me. Dennis is so nice, don't you think? Melissa would agree, wherever you are, but surprised you didn't get more excited about that. Hey, it's fantastic to be here. My name is Don McDonald. Now, how many people have ever heard me speak before? Just want to see who my friends are because you've come back. And all the rest of you have never heard of me before? Great to be here with you today, and I bring you greetings from Auckland, and it's good to be in Hamilton this morning. I've got my great friend, long-time friend, Mark Codlin, who I'd like to say I led to Christ, but it was an Aussie who led him to Christ after we had tried and we had bets on it and we had a kitty going to get him saved, but an Aussie came and preached the gospel and he got saved. And so it's great to have Mark here. Give Mark a hand. Mark travels with me pretty much in many places of the world, and we've seen some pretty exciting stuff happen together, seen lots of lives changed, and so God is good, isn't he? But it's good to be here with you guys today. You're all looking good. Are you feeling good? It's about 11 o'clock. Is it 11 o'clock or something like that? 11:40. I better get on with it because lunch is coming up. Before I say anything at all, I'm a pretty ordinary guy, really, very ordinary guy, but have an awesome God, okay? And the one reason I'm here today and being able to be with you is because God is absolutely amazing. Otherwise, I should seriously be dead at least five times, and I've had some serious accidents. I've been paralyzed from the neck down, and God has totally restored and healed me from that. And I give God all the praise. And it's an amazing thing, isn't it? Like when you, if has anybody ever here been paralyzed from the neck down? And when you've been paralyzed from the neck down, like that's like nothing from here has any feeling. Doctors are telling you nothing will ever work again. You've stuffed your spinal cord after a quad bike accident, and that nothing will operate again. And it's a funny, it's not funny at all. It's very serious, actually. They limited, trying to remember where the verse is, they limited the Holy One of Israel because they negated to remember the great things he has done. That's what the Bible says. They limited God because they forgot the great things he has done. And you know how easy it is to forget. You remember I was paralyzed from the neck down. I couldn't do anything. My arms wouldn't work. Nothing would work. I couldn't walk. I couldn't do anything. Supernaturally, I had a vision of myself healed, and today I stand before you healed, which is very cool. It is very cool. God, we do give you all the honor. We give you the honor. Here's the amazing thing with that. Today, I lifted my suitcases into the boot of my car. I ran out to the letterbox and grabbed some stuff off the letterbox, took it inside, and then I jumped in my car and I drove down here. Now, to do that without even the slightest thought that will this work, will I be able to lift the suitcase, is an amazing thought, because do you know that how quickly we forget the goodness of God in our lives? If I can remind every person here today before I do anything, is to remind you of the greatness of God in your life. The fact that you're here today, I believe we're here by divine appointment, of course, but the fact that we are here today is a miracle greater in proportion than you could begin to imagine. You couldn't even work it out. And the reason you can't work it out is because we're sitting here today, all right? One of the worst things we ever do in church is sit. Hello? Like, seriously, we sit and a guy speaks, and God bless you for listening. I think you're heroes. I struggle to listen. My attention span is seriously not big. And I had a problem at school because of that. That's why I failed almost everything I did at school. I was a kindergarten dropout, actually. And because I failed, I could not get my attention span to happen. And then one day I was captivated by the amazing presence of an awesome God. Captivated. I had an encounter with God at the age 25 that revolutionized my life. How easy it is to forget that moment compared with this moment. That's what I want to talk about. How easy it is to forget the great moments in God and start living like this is like, this is kind of it. This ain't it at all. Your day of encounter would cause this day to be the launching pad for your tomorrow. And if it's not that, can I stir you up today? Oh yeah, you may be sitting there motionless right now listening to me. But the reality is, even that is a lie. The devil will tell you you're just sitting there. The reality is that right now you're traveling at a speed of around, I think it's 67,000 miles an hour that the planet's doing right now on its axis. We're spinning around 67,000 miles an hour. And that's just on our axis, okay? We're doing our annual orbit around the sun right now. And our annual orbit, in one day, in 24 hours, in the next few hours of this day, we will cover the complete revolution of the Earth on its axis. But in our annual orbit around the sun today, we will travel 1.3 million miles before the day's out. And you thought you weren't moving. And the reality is that you can sit here listening to me, but the reality is you are traveling at a phenomenal pace through space. And I wonder how many already have stopped. I mean, I've stopped this morning and said, God, I want to thank you that you heal my body, that this arm works, that I have opportunities before me today that are untold. I've already thanked God for that. I thank God for the amazing miracle that we're traveling through space at approximately 1.3 million miles we're doing at the average speed of 98,000 miles an hour. And here's the deal, we haven't hit anything yet. We haven't hit anything. Some of us have trouble negotiating our way to a meeting like this. We almost hit vehicles on the way here. But God's got us traveling like that. And here's my deal. Here's my deal on all of that, because that is cool. It is all cool. It's cool that we're traveling at that speed. We haven't hit a stray planet yet. We haven't hit like one of those big bits of stone in the middle of the sky. We haven't even hit a satellite in the last few hours. And I think that is amazing that God keeps us in orbit and we are so ungrateful. You know what I think is amazing? I think it is amazing that we can stop and say thank you, God, for doing that. Because here's the funny thing. We isn't it weird how we take the constants for granted in our lives? We take the constants. We're weird. We take the constants for granted. We're like stuff that just happens every day. Like the sun came up again this morning. Don't know if you noticed that. Like the sun came up this morning. At around 5:30 at my place, the sun began to rise. And we take that for granted. And we look at that and it's like not a miracle to us any longer. If I'm not careful, I look at my body and it's not a miracle any longer. And I can start to take that for granted. It's like the sun coming up. I can take that for granted. If you're not careful, next thing you're getting up and, oh, shoot, what are we going to do today? Oh, man, I'm bored with life. When all the time, God has just done another amazing miracle. Just done enough. The sun came up again. And the funny thing is, it's a constant. It happens every day. And I find, and this is what I want to talk about a little bit this morning, is that most of life is mundane. You could write that down. Some of you need to write that down. Most of life is mundane. That means most of life is monotonous. That means most of life is boring. That means most of life is fairly average. And yet, in the middle of all of that, in the middle of all of that, there's an awesome God who says, I like the mundane. Don't get too excited about that. I like the mundane. There's an awesome God who will look at the sunrise over however many years it's been. How many years has it been now? We're like, let's say we're 6 million. I don't study science a lot, but let's say we're 6 million years old, the planet, and the sun's been rising every morning for 6 million years, and yet God will get out of bed this morning and say, gee, that's cool. Let's do it again tomorrow. And if there's one thing I can encourage you in today, in the middle of the monotony of your life, let's have a spirit that says, do it again, God. You are so cool. Do it again. Do it again in my life. Do it again in my friend's life. Do it again in our church. Do it again in our opportunities. Do it again. God, just do it again. And let's be people that don't get so depressed or so stressed out, so lost in the little things in life that come, our financial problems, our medical problems, our health problems. Isn't it funny how we can take the constants in life for granted, like the sun came up this morning, like today we will travel 1.3 million miles through space, and we take that totally for granted, and yet we will freak out about something that doesn't feel right in our body, or some growth, or some migraine, or some health issue that we're talking about. Why don't we take the goodness of God for granted in every area of our lives? It's just a question. Why don't we? Why do we stress out about the little things and yet the massive things like the Earth in orbit take for granted? And then we'll freak out about how we're going to afford fuel for our car on Monday. There's something wrong with that. I think you'll agree. There's something. I think that we need to be people who are consistently grateful to God for His amazing goodness in our lives. His amazing goodness. Let me just hold your hand for a minute, honey. Remind me of your name?
Emily,
that's right. Stand up, Emily. And I was just talking to Emily. Look how cool she is. And a little miracle of God. And Emily, here's the deal. I think God thinks you are so flipping awesome that right now, give me that hand again. Lord, I prophesy over this young lady, Emily, today. And I declare over her life, Lord, that she will be a young woman on fire for you, that she will be a worshipper. God, that she will sing and worship you and have praise echoing out of her life, that it will expand every capacity. Let me put my hand on your head, and in Jesus' name I prophesy over your mind, your thinking, that you will be a woman who has great thoughts for the kingdom, is incredibly creative and sees the goodness of God. Is that okay? Go for it, Emily. Oh, I tell you, never ever underestimate the little things in life. You see, we get so tangled up if we're not careful that we miss most of the good things God does. It's amazing what you miss in life. And I think Christianity and our lives could do with a good checkup that let's just take note of what God has happening all around us. Take note of it. I was in a meeting the other day and a guy was talking about, well, he was talking about something. It bored me, so I'm trying to think what it was. He was talking about, it's funny how I can't think of what he was talking about. He was talking about, what the heck was he talking about? I just got to think on this one for a moment. But whatever he was talking about, opportunity. He was talking about opportunities. Here's a funny thing. He was talking about opportunities. And he was saying how most people can't see the trees for the forest. Most people can't see the trees for the forest. And it was funny because while he was there, and it was quite, I found it, you know, like I told you, I've got an attention span that's fairly short. And so the stuff he was talking about, is this okay, Mr. Cameraman? I'm moving around, out of the light, in the light. Quite a few cameramen get upset with me. That's just why I thought I'll ask that question. Just get a nod from the cameraman and all's good again. And but he was talking about the opportunities that there are in life. And he was talking about taking advantage of the opportunities. And he was reading from his script, which, God bless him, I love that. And as he was reading, it was, you could tell there were a lot of people yawning. The guy beside me was fast asleep. The atmosphere was not stimulating nor invigorating. And then I thought, here's what I was thinking. God, it'd be good if you did something that looked like an opportunity. Because he's talking about opportunities, but it's hard to grasp one. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there? Has anybody ever been there, you know? I think God wants, I think we've got to capture God's attention. I don't know that I do it that well all the time. I don't think any of us do it that well. But I want to know God in the essence of who he is and what he is right now in my world. I need to have that encounter. I don't want to miss it. I want opportunity to be a reality in my life. I'm consistently trying to look for the opportunity. I'm trying not to walk past the simple things in life. I'm trying to break down barriers and release the presence of God into most I do. I miss it time after time and I fail. My wife reminds me, Julia reminds me how many times I do fail. But the reality is, if we can at least be attentive to the goodness of God in our world, if we can at least be, and he's talking about these divine opportunities and moments of windows in our lives that would produce an incredible opportunity for it. And it's seriously, he used a bucket and he put, I've seen it 1,000 times, and he put a bit of, I forget what he even put it, oh yeah, he put in big rocks, smaller rocks, and then he put in sand. And then he said, is there any room for anything else? And then he got some water and he said, is there any room? And it was like, seen that before. And then, to my amazement, in an auditorium, probably maybe 3 times the size of this, a bird flies in. A bird. And the bird, it came out of nowhere. It's a massive order. And the bird came in. It sat right on the pulpit. Like on the thing, this thing. I don't know if we call it a pulpit anymore. It's a weird word. On this thing. What do you call these things? Lectern, whatever it is. And the bird said, and he got annoyed at the bird. And he said this, how the heck did a bird get in here? And of course, everybody's watching the bird. Nobody's even listening to him. Nobody even. And he's on about, he's saying, how the heck could a bird get in an auditorium like this? This should be a vermin-proof auditorium. And I was like, mate, thank God that the bird came in. The guy beside me woke up and he's watching the bird flittering around the room. He's been asleep for the entire meeting and now he's suddenly awake. Several people woke up and I thought, the opportunity of a lifetime arrived in front of you, shaped in the shape of a bird so incredibly small, and you 100% missed it and focused back on your stupid bucket. And I just thought, mate, how much we miss in life as we journey through. And if there's one thing that I would like to say, just to back up, most of life is monotonous. I know you wrote that down. But hey, I reckon within the monotony of life, there are incredible opportunities where we can change our world in Jesus' name. If we'll just get out, I don't know if you've seen Pope Francis, who I think is a bit of a legend, just quietly. I think he's totally, he's an awesome man. And he's just done a massive leadership talk to the world. And I don't know if you've seen that at all. But he spelt leadership with a man. He said, here's the problem with leadership in the world right now. This is a man who'll go and help the lonely. He'll literally get out. He won't even travel in the flash thing. He won't sleep in the flash hotels that people have to sleep in when they're that famous. He just takes on the life of the average normal. And this man, and he did this leadership talk, and he put leadership where it's got power and presence right there. And in the middle, how do you spell leadership? L-E. Anyway. It's just telling you what I know. And I would have spelt it like that too. But what I like about the Pope, he put a L-E-A-D-E-R. Before the E, he put a capital I. And he said, I'll tell you what the problem is with leadership in the world today, is that people have put a massive I in the middle of leadership. And leadership is focused around them instead of others. And he did a brilliant talk. He said, the problem is with most of the governments in our city. God bless you if there's anybody here representing local government. I love you. But I will say this to you. If it becomes about you before it becomes about your community, you are seriously missing the plot. And if ever there's a day when we've got to get out of our boxes, and I'm talking to Christians now, I'm talking to political leaders right now, and we need to get out of our box and focus on the people that really change the world. And they can be anybody, because I wasn't anybody, and at age 25 I had an encounter with an awesome God and he revolutionized my life. And from then on it's gone from this level to that level to that level. And the biggest thing I've learned in life is that you've got to be content content with the monotonous, and you've got to see opportunities within the monotonous, and you've got to get out of your cage to do it. So I title this message today, Get Out of Your Cage. And so we're going to pray, and then we're going to give you a few points on that, okay? Is that all right? That was my introduction. I hope it stirs your faith. I think if there's anything that needs to happen, we just need to stir our faith today. And if there's one thing I want to do is stir your faith. People call me all sorts of things. I think I'm an evangelist. I think I have evangelistic capacity somewhere there. I'm a pastor. I'm a leader. I'm a father. I'm a grandfather. I'm flipping 2 times 30 right now. Julia is my beautiful wife. We've been married for 80 years. That's 40 years each, okay? I tell Julia, she is very excited about this. She now sleeps with 2 30-year-olds. Because I've just attained the maturity of a 60-year-old. She doesn't think that, actually. But anyway, that's just a little bit about me. I have number 10 grandchild is just about to be born as we speak, almost. And we have an awesome family. I have 4 lovely children. One of them's already in heaven. And my declaration to you today is that through it all, I've put my trust in Jesus Christ, and he will never, ever fail you. And so that's like, honestly, wherever you're at in life today, can I encourage you just to refocus on Christ, because he is the answer to every question you might have. And I know we have heaps of questions. I've had questions that would blow your mind, like, God, why the beep, beep, beep did you allow my son to get killed at 30 years of age? And we will have questions. And one thing I have discovered, that we will have questions. You will have questions today. There'll be situations right now that you are battling with, trying to deal with, trying to walk through. There's a CD down there, and you can get that, and it's called Walking Through the Valley of Death. And I can tell you, you can walk through any valley in your world, and if you can keep your eyes on Christ, you will make it to the other side. No matter what you're walking through right now, if you can keep your eyes on Christ, you'll make it to the other side. That might be the best thing I've said today, actually, because that's not about me. It's not about my cool stories. It's just about Jesus Christ as the answer to the world today. Because honestly, my stories may inspire you. They may bore you, I don't know. But my stories may influence your life. But I want to tell you right now that God will revolutionize your perspective of the day you're living in right now. And unless we have that, in fact, I've got to do this. There's a lady here. You've got the red here. Is it red here? Come up here, honey. Come up here. Your name is? Wanda, have we met before?
No, sir.
We've never met before. Wanda, lift your hands to the Lord right now. The minute I walked in here this morning, God said, there's a miracle I'm going to do, and I didn't know your name then, but now it's Wanda's life, okay? And no wonder with a name like Wanda. I mean, something flipping good is going to happen. And yeah, wonderful. I believe it will be. Wonder, I want to tell you right now, the power of God is on your life. You have a heart that will affect your community because it burns in your heart. You're not here today just to come to another meeting. You are here today to receive something. And God said this to me. God said, go down and lay hands on that woman. She's going to receive a supernatural impartation. Is this okay? How come you're looking back there? You've been waiting for that. Okay, there we go. So no wonder God said it. But you're going to receive an impartation today that's going to shift. It's like it's going to shift the atmosphere over your world. And God knows how we need to shift atmospheres. And God says today, I'm going to shift the atmosphere over your world, and favor is about to come on your life that will break open possibilities. You're going to see stuff you never see. You might be like me from this day on. You might struggle to sleep at night because God will give you visions, pictures. You'll see people in the night. I see people in the night like you. And people come in my night, and I see them there. And God, it's like, oh, what the heck are they doing in my world, God? And God says, you'll see them and release a perspective of the anointing in their lives that will totally transform every moment of their life from there on in. Get ready for it, Wonder. Are you married?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Tell you, is he here?
No.
Tell him to get ready for it, okay? Because you'll...
He's expecting something big.
Okay. Lift your hands, Holy Ghost, right now. I thank you for the supernatural... impartation of power. And I thank you right now for that heaven. I just see a shift in the heavens. I see there's something shifting, and there's like the light of God shining on your world. And here it comes. Jesus, loose the anointing all over a life right now. And I open up the favor of God on your mind, on your eyes, on your perspective, on your opportunities. And in Jesus' name right now, I release the anointing of the Holy Ghost that will birth in your life and produce a harvest. And produce a harvest. Wherever God plants a seed, there will be a harvest. Now, I believe that's for a lot of people here, but we did that before we were going to pray, actually. We need to pray for the meeting, and how are we going? Time's nearly up. I love that. Time's nearly up, but we're still going. Why don't you stand with me, because we need to pray right now. Holy Ghost, I want to thank you. God, I thank you for the amazing people that are here today. To God, to meet with you, to come catch something. God, I pray that you would release something. Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you for this building. I thank you for what's already here. But God, right now I declare over the atmosphere that there would be a contagious anointing that would cause it to be catchy today, that would cause something to be caught in our spirit, God, that would be so contagious that it would literally, it would be like a virus that infects our spirit. For our nation, God, for beyond our nation, for the opportunities, for our families, for our homes, God, for our children, God, for the people that we rub shoulders against every day, God, that you would cause our eyes to be incredibly open, Lord, that we would see the opportunities of a lifetime, God, let us come out of our cages today and let us be released, God, released from the encumbrances of life, and God, let us walk in the glory of God. Father, let us live in the shadow of your presence in Jesus' name. Father, we release that right now. And I thank you, God, for the power of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Father, we give you the opportunity right now to walk down every aisle, between every row of seats. What I say may be cool, but God, I pray that what you would speak into the hearts of men and women would be incredibly anointed and powerful. Lift your hands to the Lord. Here comes just the power of God. God says right here, faith. Faith comes on your life. I don't know how much of that you need, but because it's like you don't need a lot, because the Bible says if you have a mustard seed, that's the one I was looking for. If you just have a mustard seed, that is stuff all faith. But he said, if you've got that much, you can move a mountain. And I believe right now, this is what God says to you. You've got enough. God says, I want to activate it. There it goes. Power. Power right now. Loose it on a life, Lord. Power. Faith goes through your spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, you can be seated. And let's give you a couple of verses. And then we're going to go for lunch. Is that cool? Is that all right? I don't know what happened to my notes. I've totally gone. It's gone. And I never mind that. It's like, here we go. Here we go. Okay. Here it goes. Isaiah 54 and verse 2. All of you know it anyway. And it says simply this. It says, enlarge the place of your tent. Isaiah 54 and verse 2. Enlarge the place of your tent. Can we yell that out today? Come on. Let's do it one more time. Enlarge the place of your tent. In the book of Numbers, it talks about the tabernacle. It was a movable. It was a tent. It was a temporary dwelling. It was something that could be picked up and moved in an instant. It was like something that when the presence of God happened to be stirring or moving, they could move it in an instant. They weren't locked into just staying there, but they could shift when the cloud moved or when the fire moved, they could shift. I want to be where the presence of God is. I want to live in the presence of God. I need to know it in my, just for Don McDonnell, I need to know the presence of God. I find that I'm not that great without the encounter of God in my spirit. I find that I don't operate that well within the capacity of academic knowledge of the Bible. I find that the academic knowledge of the Bible will not release me into the fruitfulness of my life. But I find that whenever I am in the presence of God, I think it wasn't David, it was the doorkeeper. He said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than have any other life happen for 1,000 years. He said, it's better to spend one day just in the presence of God. Moses said, God, I love all these promises you've given me. I love what you've put before me, but please, will you just go with me? Because if your presence doesn't go with me, I don't want to take one more step. Moses was the guy who said, he said, hey, it's really cool that you're going to send an angel with me. And it's fantastic. I need angels all the time because I break speed limits and I do crazy things in my life. And that's when you need angels, because I think angels are mostly bored with our lives. And I think they don't want to hang around with us because we live so contained and in these little religious cages. And I think sometimes God just wants to get us out of the cage for long enough that an angel can turn up in our world just to protect us or keep us or stop harm from coming our way or rescue us or whatever. And I think sometimes we need to be aware that Moses said, even if an angel comes, that's not good enough. God, I want your presence in my life. And I don't know about you, but today I need the presence of God in my world. Because you never know what opportunity is coming your way next. And I believe that if we live in the realm of the opportunities of God, that anything is a possibility. I don't know how your life pans out. I think we only get one life. We don't get two shots at this. Unless you're a whatever. There are specific religions that do believe that we'll get another shot at it and you'll come back. I sat beside that guy on an aeroplane a little while. I should tell you that story. That's a flipping exciting story. But some people think they're going to come back and get another shot. But the reality is, this is it. This is it. Do we ever stop to actually think this is it? Like, do we actually wake up in the morning and think, I'm never going to get this day again. I'm never going to see that sunrise again. God, that was so cool. Oh, God, let me enjoy and savor this moment. It may be monotonous, but let me savor it because something happens in my spirit right now that releases me into the opportunity of what you're going to do in my day right now. And unless we catch that monotonous moment, we're guaranteed to miss the moment of a lifetime that God's got just around the corner. And that's why God said here, he said, enlarge the place of your tent, because they could move that tent. If you read about it in Numbers, they could move it in an instant. They had the people set up to move it. They had specific tribes. And this is why, I don't know about you, but I cannot bear to sit in church and just sit there. That's probably why I get bored. I can't just sit there. I can't come to church on every Sunday morning and just listen to another sermon. I have got to be actively involved in the evangelization of my community, my neighborhood, and my world. Well, don't get too excited about that. Because the reality is, too many people are waiting for another message. Too many people are waiting for it. And God bless you. Hopefully you get something out of what I'm saying, even if it's that. But we do need messages. And believe me, I do listen to messages. And I need stuff that will inspire me and stuff that will trigger thoughts in my life and the processes that God has established in my life. And sometimes one word will rest on one verse that I read last week and it breaks open heaven for me and opens the window of opportunity that releases me to fulfill the power of God that's in my life to be active on one moment or one person or one life or one broken person and see them set free in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Like the other day when I'm walking down, I just came off the pole. I'd been preaching like this. I said the amen and whatever else you say at the end. God bless you. Have a fantastic week. And I was walking down the aisle like this, and one man came up, and he's I'm not attracted to men in that way. But he came up, and he flung his arms around me, and he held on for too long. You know what that's like? Any guys have ever been there? Too long. It's like pat, pat, pat on the back. You know how we do it? Let's have a go at this, yeah? Stand up. Here it is. I'm not gay.
Good.
That's what that's all about, in case you ever... Why do we pat each other on the back like that? That's what it means. And anyway, it had gone way past there. We're still... He's hugging, I'm just standing there. And then he said these words to me. Pastor Don, I want to thank you for what you've done in my life. And I didn't realize I'd done anything, to be honest with you. Didn't realize I'd done a thing. And then he says, thank you for giving me back my wife. And to be honest, I never knew I'd took her. I don't know how the heck that happened. And I'm like, really? When did I do this? No, I didn't. Thank you for giving me back my wife. And then he went on to explain how he has not had his wife in her wholeness for several years. And that by the miracle of what God's done, through his incredible, awesome power, God has released her from years of brokenness and abuse, sexual abuse, and just a shambolized life. And she has been totally restored. Glory to God. And oh boy, God, you are so awesome. So, and I want to live in that realm where sometimes we're not aware of what's going on, but God is using us to be an instrument in his hand. I don't need to know I'm an instrument. I just need to know that I'm being faithful what he's put on my life. And I think if I were to say today, if we could just be faithful enough, because God wants to extend, he wants to stretch. Time's up. And it is telling me that. How the... Just stop that. Just stop that. Somehow we're going to stop. Yeah. And that when... Why is it not stopping? Oh, there we go. We've killed it. And time is up. We barely got to the first point. And it's because we're still trying to read the verse. Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare, but lengthen your cords and strengthen. You know, I really believe today, and I realize time's up, and I'm not about to hold you. I want to pray for people here, because I have one philosophy in my life, and that is this very simple philosophy. Write this down if you like. It's something I wrote down years ago, and it has never ceased not to work in my life, all right? And it's this. I've been in meetings with unbelievable situations going on, and I could just go on and on about this, but oh how we want what we can hear about and what we want to happen in our lives. Oh how we can wait. We can take, and God bless you for taking notes. I told you to do that. But we can take pages of notes that we never look at again, that I don't know what happens to those notes. What happens to them? We put them on shelves. They end up in these huge boxes of old writings. And it's like, I don't really get note-taking. Didn't work for me at school. And it's never worked for me much in life. But I do realize this. There's one thing I do realize. And a man spoke this to me one day when I'd just become a Christian. He was a convert of Smith Wigglesworth. And he spoke these words to me and he said, Don, I want to tell you something. You were born into the fire and you cannot live in the smoke. Oh, how we love to get in the cages of religion that would be like the smokehouse that numbs the bees so they won't sting you anymore and causes them to be the most... What's the word? It's like they're just dull. They've lost their spark. They've lost their zing. They've lost their buzz, and you can go in and steal their honey. And I want to tell you, if there's one thing the devil wants to do, he wants to get your honey. He wants to get everything that's sweet in your life, and he wants to smoke you out like a beekeeper will smoke the hive and cause you to stop stinging stuff and stop getting around and stop making your world happen. And he said that to me. All he said to me, really, I got that out of it, because when somebody says something to me, I get a whole picture. I get like a movie. So he said, Don, you were born in the fire, you can't live in the smoke. And instantly I saw a beekeeper with smoke machines, and that's just how I read life. It's schools can't deal with that. They can't educate people like that, because we're way ahead of where they're at. And they try to teach you English. Somehow I failed my own language. Can you believe that? I was born in New Zealand. We speak English. It's like... This is our language. It's called English. Some of you weren't born here, and I appreciate that today, but I was born here, and this is the language we speak. It's called English. And for a teacher to actually say to you that you failed, it's like, I want to be looking for the teacher. I wish I could go back and find them now. What was wrong with you that the language I speak you didn't pass me in? Like, it's not my fault, it's their fault. And so if there's one thing I'm going to tick on your report card is that you live in New Zealand, you know English. Like, you can order a drink. You can go down today and order a piccolo. Two piccolos at the something kitchen cafe here in Hamilton, and it works for you, and so you've got English. You've kind of got that. Like, tick. That's yours. And somehow they failed me on that. I'll never ever understand that. But the reality is that I have found that I see things in pictures. I see your words in pictures. It's like God gives me a thought and it turns into a picture. I see someone's life, and I saw you this morning, and I see a picture over your world, and I see a picture of enlargement, and I see your hands going out wider than they've ever been before. So I know that's faith, that God is about to dawn in your life in such a great degree that you're about to see change come in your world. And I see these pictures, and I tell you right now, and the second thing he said to me was this: it's better caught than it is taught. And that would be one of the greatest keys I ever got in my life, because I've sat in meetings like this trying to write down screeds and notes, and then I just realized, I want to catch this in my spirit. I want to walk out of here with something in my spirit that I've caught, like an infectious disease, and the next person I sneeze on is going to catch what I've got. You know what I mean? And I think some of us need to start sneezing in the Holy Ghost and just start breathing in the Holy Ghost. And what you see, it's called, I think they call it karma. Karma, or just being a good farmer, if you like. What you sow, you will reap. What you sow, you will reap. And so I'll sow faith into a meeting like this, bigger than I'll sow what I can get in my head. I want to sow faith because I want it to come into my heart, because I want to go out of here and I want to affect the world around me. So I want something to come into my spirit that's bigger than I am, because I can't, in my natural mind, I cannot begin to grasp it. But in the supernatural realm, I begin to see the possibilities that God has put in my world. And I'm not just talking about this stuff. I'm talking, it's a reality in your life today, in Jesus' name. Amen? Is that all right for the first session? Hopefully I've got another session, because we barely got to too many points. Is that okay though?
Awesome.
And we'll come back. Have I got another session? Tonight. Shoot. It's the last one, okay. So that's it for today then. And we're going to have lunch, I think. It's time's up, isn't it? Isn't it? Yeah, so here's what I want to do. We've got a couple of minutes, I reckon. Okay, so here's what I want you to do. Stand to your feet, because I've talked about a lot of stuff here. I've talked about, let's not remain motionless in a world where God is consistently moving, where his presence will move around a room like this. You'll feel it like a wind. You'll feel it like sometimes I'm moving and I'm praying for people, and I'll literally see, amount of times I've seen, like the Holy Spirit just walking through a crowd like this. I'll see him come walking alongside someone, like the young lady right there, right now, right there. That's you. And I see the Holy Spirit just come and just touch you. And I know that stuff's been imparted, that there will be something today that shifts in your world like unbelievable, in the excitement of the possibilities that God is about to dawn in your spirit. And you see that happen. So God is not motionless. He's not like stagnant. He's not, religion gets stagnant and we get like that, but God is bigger than that. That's why I said before, I can't sit in a church and just listen to it. I've got to activate the word of God. So I want to be involved. So I want to be one of the people that you read about in Numbers that's shifting a tent pole or shifting something, but I want to move what's here to where the presence of God, if the presence of God happens to be there, I want to be part of the answer and not part of the problem. It's easy to get critical and cynical. It's easy to get all those things because we're human and we can't stand monotony, so we become cynical if we're not careful in our realm. But when we step onto the edge of the momentum of God that would say stretch out the tent pegs, that means even where they are today, you can stretch it a little further. And I want you to stretch that today in your life, because God doesn't want us caged in. God wants us on the edge of a possibility of a miracle today, and I believe every person here has it. And will it happen just in the natural? I don't think so. I think it happens when you take one step and then you move something in your world into the next step, but God will open the door. So I want you right now, just pray this prayer with me and say, Jesus, I'm ready to stretch the tent pegs of my world. I am here to receive and catch the supernatural power of an unlimited God. Now I'm going to invite you just to hop out of your seats. If you feel that's for you right there, come and stand on this altar, because I want to pray, because it is better caught than it ever is taught. And in Jesus' name, Father, I thank you right now that, Lord, your word is all we need. Your word unlocks the possibilities in our lives. Your word will unlock faith. Oh man, Jesus, here's the power of God right here for you, sister. I don't think we've ever met in our life. But sorry?
You before in Auckland?
You've met me before.
No.
Oh, you heard me once before. Well, how nice was that? And you came back. Your name is?
Annie.
Annie. It's an awesome name, Annie. Look, I tell you what, even right then when you said your name, this is what the Holy Spirit said to me right there. He said, this is a woman who has huge capacity. It's like this, and I don't even know where you're at or what happened, but God says your capacity is huge. The abilities within that capacity, the things you can do, the people you can and have helped, the places you've served, the places you've given your life, the places you've been poured out, and God says you. I sense you know where you've been poured out. Sometimes it's like it's all been poured out, and God, where's what's left? Where's what's left for me? And you lift your hands to the Lord. I believe the power of God comes on you today. And God, it's like there's never going to be an end of the resource of your world. There's never any. I'll tell you, you are called to resource the kingdom. You are called to go beyond the barriers that would shut normal people down. You're called to have more energy than the person who says, that's all I can give. But God says, because you've been faithful with what I've given you. And it's simple. It's so simple. God said, you gave when you couldn't. You served when it seemed too far. But God says today, an anointing. There it goes. Holy Ghost, touch her with it in Jesus' name. Touch her with it in Jesus' name. God always works with a husband and a wife. So I'll tell you right now, I believe that you're catching something here today that's releasing the next dimension, the next dimension. Holy Ghost, just do it right now in Jesus' name. As we have our hands lifted, come on, let's just lift a hand. It's not about whether I pray for you. It's not even about, but Holy Spirit, I pray right now that a tangible anointing would come on this amazing, Lord, this potential. I just see like a group of amazing potential. I see a group of people with keys in their hand that are going to unlock doors. I see a group of people right now that it's like where the barriers have gone up, where it seems like it's unable to be penetrated. God says, I'm going to give you the keys. I'm going to give you, not necessarily the key in your hand, but I'm going to give you the reason. I'm going to give you the thought in your mind that will creatively unlock and pull down the wall and release the goodness of God. Some of you have got friends right now who don't know Christ. Some of you have got situations in your life where your evangelistic giftings don't seem to be fruitful. But God says, get ready. You're going to catch something right now that releases the fruitfulness of God. And I tell you, just as I walked past you right then, the Holy Spirit, I just felt that there's so much in your spirit, in your smile, I don't even know what you call it, but in your life, in your complexion, in your being. God says, I'm going to cause my favor to rest on everything that you are. And God says, get ready for open doors in your world. So Father, right now, I declare and I release an open heaven over your world. And I thank you, God, that right now, boy, there it goes too. The presence of God just come right there. Presence of God's all over this place, incidentally. And here it comes in Jesus' name. Just touch it with the sweetest, most powerful anointing that releases the promises. Right across this altar right now, Lord. Father, I pray. Better caught than taught. There it goes. In Jesus' name. Better caught than taught. Take it. Take it. Take it. Here she is. I saw her there before and God gave me that word for you. And in Jesus' name, I declare right now over your spirit, Holy Ghost, come, come, come. I declare the Holy Spirit would come upon your life in such a way that this become a moment of incredible encounter. There it goes. In Jesus' name. Let it fall on the Lord. Let the power fall on it. take it, brother. I tell you right now, the power of God, just release it in you. Release it. John, take it right now. In Jesus' name, I release it. I release that divine encounter right now. Supernatural touch, supernatural impartation. Caught, caught in your spirit. In Jesus' name. Father, right now, just let it go. Just let it go. Let it go. Let go and let God. Let go and let God. Manu Mushukiriya Baba Yanda. Oh, yeah. Take a step. That's right, Lord. Let it go. Let it go. And again there. And again. And again. Holy Ghost. Jesus. Nama namutu kukikia bababababayanda. Shabadababi. Not by might, not by power, but it's simply by my spirit, says the Lord. Right there. That's it. That's it. Holy Ghost. Now. Now, now, I declare, I activate the miraculous. I activate it. I activate the power. Activate the miraculous. Activate the power. Shankataputi kirianda. In Jesus' name. God. Here it is. Here it is, right there. In fact, God's just done a miracle. I don't know what it was, but you needed a miracle today. And there's healing that's happening right there as you stand there. There's a healing miracle. Shamba diba shukuyanda. Lord, let it. Oh, boy, let the release of the Holy Ghost. The release of the Holy Ghost. You're thinking, it's going to move in your thinking. It's going to, ooh, somebody just give God a praise right there. Come on, the glory of the Lord's here. Glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord. God, we don't want anything but your glory. If it's okay with you, I just want to say, Holy Spirit, fall in your power right now. Holy Spirit, fall in your power right now. There it is, there it is, there it is. There it is. There it is. Soak it in. Soak it in. I see you like a garment being soaked in it's like in a fabric being put into the dye of the Holy Spirit. And go shandabashika babayanda. Jesus, 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 Jesus. There it goes, power of God. Just totally. It's saturated every part of your being today. And in Jesus' name, breathe on her, Lord. Breathe on her. Yeah, Lord. Let it go, let it go, let it go, let it go, let it go. Thank you, God. Mighty woman of God. You are a mighty woman of the Holy Ghost. And I'll tell you right now, it's almost like circumstances would try to bring that world into a smaller capacity. But God says, today I've stretched some things in your life. And God says, I'm about to do what I did. It's like every morning, do it again. Every morning he's so excited about it, he says, do it again. When you get out of bed, God says, do it again. When you get out of bed from now on, when I get up in the morning, alarm bells go off in hell. Every morning I get out of bed, alarm bells go off in hell. Look out, he's up. And that's going to be your story from here on in. Alarm bells going off in hell. There's a work, there's an opportunity, there's people that you're talking to right now that you're about to see their eyes pop open. You're about to see that happen. Their eyes pop open. The Holy Ghost is about to breathe on that. Here it goes. Now, 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 now. Loose it and alive. Lucid and alive. This lady here, right here, just take it in Jesus' name. Such as I have, I give you right now. Such as I have, I give it to you. I give it to you. Just receive it. Give it to you in Jesus' name. Give it to you in Jesus' name. Something just broke off your life right there. Something just broke off your life. Holy Spirit. Oh, boy. Just a gentle touch of the Holy Spirit. It's like God's gentleness. It doesn't push, it doesn't shove, it doesn't try to lock you into this or that. It's just like, here he is, here he is, here he is. That's what God's saying to you right now. Here I am, here I am, here I am. Jesus. Lama lamo shukurianda. Don't know why I say this to you, but God says to you, right place at the right time. Right place at the right time. Something's been stirred in your spirit in this season, in this moment, and it's right place. If ever you had a doubt about it, God says right place, right time. If ever there was like words of faith, I just see the the words of faith. I see words of faith. I see God's word when he steps, when he takes his first step out, and it's like it says the earth was void and there was darkness upon the face of deep. And God simply steps out and says, let there be. And the creative anointing of the Holy Ghost comes on you right there. There it goes. Holy Ghost, just do it right there. Right there. Right there. Come over here. Holy Spirit. God, you are so awesome. Just lift your hands to the Lord. There's an anointing right now. It's like you see you're standing in the middle of it, and it's like presence of God all around you. And God say, I'm awakening within your spirit the recognition. Oh boy, as you recognize where you walk, I walk. That's what God says. When you talk, I talk. When you do business, I do business. God says, whatever you calculate, I'm calculating with you. Here it comes now. There's an anointing comes on everything you do. Holy Spirit, we give you praise right now. Come on, give God another praise. Just give him a praise. Spirit of God, we will consistently declare that your name is holy. We will consistently declare that our God is able. Lord, even though the circumstances may tell us that it is an impossibility, we know that your word would declare that all things are possible with God. And Father, right now, over every single person that's been in the sound of my voice today, I declare right now and I activate the supernatural in your world. And I pray that God would fulfill your desire, your cry, and your prayer in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen.